Order.
Select committee report.
A change in the chairmanship of the Law and Order Committee on Wednesday saw National's Kanwaljit Singh Bakshi take over the role following the recent resignation from Parliament of the former chair, Mike Sabin. The first item of business for that committee following Mr. Bakshi's appointment was the hearing of submissions on the Policing Cost Recovery Amendment Bill, which will allow the police to charge organisations for background checks or vetting of prospective employees. The bill drew concern from Volunteering New Zealand Chief Executive Vanny Sidiru.
Now, the crux of our argument is that the impact of having to vet or charge vetting for volunteers is going to cost significantly to organisations. It's going to add administrative burden, it's going to add time for those volunteer managers to actually do that work, and it's also going to be a detractor for volunteers potentially to volunteer. So that's not what we want to see in our cities and communities.
Meanwhile, New Zealand Council of Christian Social Services Executive Officer Trevor McGlinchey suggested a different approach to police vetting.
The best mechanism would be for government to hold the police accountable for delivering an efficient, effective service. And that would be a more effective mechanism to achieve the outcome desired, to ensure that people working with our children are actually effectively vetted. If that is not seen as the core business of the police, then perhaps the Vulnerable Children's Board, with the chief executives of those organisations principally concerned with our vulnerable children, should be tasked with the responsibility of ensuring that process is carried out and funded appropriately. It seems to me making payments to organisations who then make payments back to government for that service is circular, it's inefficient and creates problems. So I would ask this committee to look for a much more efficient and effective method of ensuring this is funded appropriately.
New Zealand Council of Christian Social Services Executive Officer Trevor McGlinchey with that submission on the Policing Cost Recovery Amendment Bill. Following day, Thursday, and it took almost 4 years, but a petition that was first presented to Parliament by Labour's Marianne Street back in 2011, calling for greater transparency around the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Agreement negotiations, was up before the Foreign Affairs, Defence and Trade Committee, and the time lag wasn't lost on the petition's sponsor, Council of Trade Unions President Helen Kelly.
So we presented this petition, or Honourable Marianne Street presented it to the Parliament in 2011, and we don't really understand why it's taken 4 years before we've had the opportunity to be heard. And obviously so much has happened in this space in between that petition being presented and today, and we think that makes our calls in that petition even more urgent.
Ms Kelly said time to review the trade agreement was running out.
Heads of government and trade ministers say that the negotiations are now nearing a completion, and we've even been told by the Prime Minister and others that if they're not completed in the next few months, they may never be. And we think that creates this huge pressure on the negotiations, and that pressure creates an increased risk of poor decisions being made.
And Helen Kelly's concerns were echoed by Oxfam policy advisor Luke Rorton.
These concerns are in addition to the threat posed to New Zealand's sovereignty itself. The absolute right for New Zealanders to determine our own futures. The very right New Zealanders expect this Parliament to protect. Yet the TPPA negotiations are being conducted in secret. In fact, parties to the TPPA negotiations agreed not to disclose documents relating to the negotiations until 4 years after the treaty comes into effect. This is why we are asking for an inquiry into the effects of the TPPA before an agreement is signed.
Oxfam policy advisor Luke Rorton speaking to the Foreign Affairs, Defence and Trade Committee. Elsewhere in the committee rooms on Thursday, the Transport and Industrial Relations Committee heard submissions on a petition calling for mandatory driving tests for foreigners before they can drive in New Zealand. Making a submission on that petition was Automobile Association Policy and Research Manager Simon Douglas.
The AA does not believe that a practical test at the border for visitors is pragmatic or practical. We just don't believe that it'll be able to be implemented or make a difference.
Meanwhile, Tourism Industry Association Chief Executive Chris Roberts pointed to another problem with the petition's proposal.
Our law enshrines the international conventions that we've signed up to. That allows all overseas drivers who've got a current licence to drive here for up to 12 months from their date of arrival, and we get the same recognition overseas. So if we were to create any barriers, it potentially creates an impact on us when we travel overseas. So we're strongly of the view that rather than being tested, visiting drivers need to be provided with relevant and accurate and timely information about driving in New Zealand.
Tourism Industry Association Chief Executive Chris Roberts speaking to the Transport and Industrial Relations Committee. All up, there were 16 committee meetings held during the week. I'm Rhys Lyon reporting for ParliamentToday.co.nz with funding from Parliament.